This is Transmission, a bilingual digital marketing podcast presented by Alphaco Marketing and Media. Hello, hello. This is Graham Dunlap and Juan Pablo Osorio coming to you pre-recorded from various places around Texas. This is Transmission. Juan Pablo, how are you?
I'm doing very good today. Enjoying the spring here in Texas. Hopefully we can keep this good weather as long as possible.
Man, I'm enjoying the spring as well. It's so nice to be able to walk outside and feel the sun hit you a little bit. However, as I'm sure our listeners can hear, I am dying from allergies. Spring seems to have sprung exclusively inside my nose. So that's what I've got going on. But otherwise, really happy for the weather. Happy to be here with you today, Juan Pablo. Excited to talk a little bit more about digital marketing. What's been going on with you? I know you just got back from a conference. How was the conference?
Yes, I went to Edge Conference in Dallas, Texas. It was amazing to be in a room full of entrepreneurs, inspiring each other. The workshops were good. I attended almost every marketing workshop there was. And, you know, I would learn a few things from other marketers and also got to network and set up some new relationships.
It's always nice. And I think that's actually like a great segue into our conversation topic for today, because we're talking about, you know, going to conferences as a means of A, marketing, and B, sales. And, you know, what we want to talk about today is kind of blended media. You know, when does digital bleed into the real world and vice versa? And how can we leverage some of those old school techniques today? So that's really interesting. Was there anything at the conference that you saw? Were there anything like any of the vendors were doing that you're like, oh, this is really a really creative use of digital marketing, or maybe not? Maybe we need to go give them a speech.
Man, what I'm seeing is people starting to use AI and machine learning models in very, very interesting ways, from synthesizing data to looking at previous campaigns data and formulating new ideas, new projects, just people programming the AI to do all kinds of really cool things for them. And I'm a little jealous of how to do it.
That is cool, man. You know, I don't think we're there yet, and we do have a whole AI pod, so I don't want to get too deep into it. But increasingly what I'm learning and what I'm hearing is that what AI is really is it's a plain text coding interface. You know, it's C++ or Python, but instead of having to learn to code, you can just do it in English. And that really is kind of the long-term view of where these, at least large language models, are going to go and what they're going to be most useful for. So it's cool to see. It's pretty interesting.
Yes, sir. Yes. And there was a couple of other workshops. One that really caught my attention, it was the psychology of marketing. And they talked about how companies have gone beyond just the regular traditional thing they usually do to really stand out, whether it's guerrilla marketing or changing the packaging of something just to increase sales. And they show that it works. And it's there are studies behind what works, what didn't work, and why. So I thought that was very interesting.
That is interesting. And I wasn't there, so I'll take a little stab in the dark. But I have to imagine that there's something to how the visual language and the language of the internet is starting to bleed into the real world. Like if you're thinking about packaging, you know, I think 20 years ago, something would just come in a cardboard box. And now it's got to come in a cardboard box with clean edges. The boxes need to fit together perfectly. And on the outside, you know, I'm thinking of an iPhone case here, but you need to have, you're almost having like digital images placed on top of this physical thing to make it more appealing. Something I see a lot of. I think that's interesting.
Yes, yes. It's such interesting things that companies have done. There was one that pops to the top of my mind. It's this cereal that is it's not Wheaties. It's like Wheaties, I think. It's like a little square. And all they did is they turn it around and call it diamonds. And now you can buy a box of diamonds or a box of squares and then a box of mix. And that alone increased their sales like 40, 50%.
That's crazy to me, man. And I do think like that makes me think of like the Spider-Man pointing at himself meme. And I feel like that's part of the internet culture a little bit. It's like sometimes people want to see joke changes, I guess. Like there is a little bit of a jokey element to, I think, modern culture that you're seeing in traditional brands like left and right Twix. Like left and right Twix feels like something made up on the internet to me. it's cool to see it in the real world.
Yes, and the companies do show like return on sales based on some of these light things, and hopefully we can touch on some of these things in today's podcast with the topics we have coming up.
You know, so like we could just change to Betaco and double our sales, is what you're saying.
Hey, people might like it, you know.
I wish, man, I wish. Maybe. I don't think that's it for us. I think we've got to stick to some of the more tried and true. I don't think we've got a magic bullet here. But magic bullets are always fun. It is, you know, turn a square into a diamond and see what's up.
Or Red Bull in London was really having a hard time getting people to adopt the product. So they started filling up all the empty cans on the trash cans in downtown. And as people were bar hopping, they would see a trash can full of empty Red Bulls. And it's like, if everybody's drinking it, I should drink it. And they boosted their sales in that area tremendously. So
that cracks me up. Like, you see this sometimes, and it takes a lot of guts to do this. But you do sometimes see products launch, and they'll put up a website, and they'll do a lot of marketing. And all of that marketing will be centered around how they're too busy to take any sales. No sales. We're brand new. We've just launched and we already have 1 billion pre-orders. So we'll never get to your 1 billion in first. But the fact that they have 1 billion pre-orders makes everybody want to sign up. Again, comparing this to an old school philosophy. And I do love how these things bleed together. But, you know, when I was a kid, you would go to bars and you would every now and then you'd walk past the bar that would have the mega line out front. And you'd stand there and you'd wait in that line. And then you'd get inside and it'd be empty. And you're like, well, what was the line out front for? And like, well, because if there's a line out front, people will line up. If there's no line out front, nobody's coming here. And so they'll just make a fake line because it's that social proof. It's you know, it's showing you, hey, your peers are doing this. They drank the Red Bull. You should drink the Red Bull. These people are waiting in line. You should wait in line. That's such a funny old school method of generating business.
Yes, sir. The bar as a kid, it must have been like a coffee bar or a juice bar.
You know, when I'm almost 40 now. I'm like halfway through my 30s, which isn't almost 40, but feels like it. And me when I was 21, that's kid to me now. I was a little baby boy back then. I barely remember when I was a preteen, you know, but I was definitely, gosh, I was fresh faced. What a time. Let's jump right into today's topic. I think, you know, I really do think that we've got an interesting one for today. It is going to be a little bit different for our listeners out there. Oftentimes in the past, you'll hear me and Juan Pablo really go deep into a topic. We're kind of going to do that today, but it is going to be a little bit more of a brainstorm. We really kind of want to throw out somewhat rapid fire some different ideas on how you can blend the real world with the digital to increase your marketing efforts. You know, we're really talking about and thinking about building a cohesive marketing ecosystem here. You know, I want your business card to play nice with your Google My Business, to play nice with your website, to play nice with your marketing pamphlet, right? It should all be interconnected and work together. And the more we do that, the better off we're gonna be. So with that, let's jump right in. I'll kick things off if that's all right. The first thing that I think of is just QR codes on your materials, right? QR codes in the year, you know, 2024, I think are as popular as ever. I can't go anywhere without seeing a QR code. And there does seem to be a consumer compulsion when you see a QR code to take your phone out and scan it. I think I've mentioned this on the pod before, but you know, there was the whole Super Bowl ad that was literally just a QR code. Now with AI, you can make QR codes that are images. Anyway, this is all a long way to go. You know, I really believe that putting a QR code on your business card or putting your QR code on a mailer that you're going to give and having that QR code linked to a specific page on your website or go somewhere else is a really, really powerful way to incorporate the offline with the online. What about you, Juan Pablo? What's your first idea?
Man, I wanted to touch a little bit on the QR codes because I have been seeing them everywhere on pop-up ads that show up on YouTube. It used to be like click here on this link. Now there's half of the page is a big QR code. I've seen it on cars, on the wraps around cars. So if you're driving around and you see the plumber, you don't have to like write down the number. You can just point your phone and get your conversion through there. Even on billboards, like they put this big, big, really huge QR code. But the point is that we can set up, as digital marketers, we can set up a tag for a specific QR code. So even if you have a van, a TV ad, a YouTube ad, or a billboard, you can track every single time somebody scanned that QR code, click through it and what their actions, whether they signed up for the product or left their information or just bounce. And that, I think that's very interesting because it's taking us on visual example of QR codes, but also tracking it digitally for your business.
I love that. And one of my favorite things about QR codes you kind of mentioned is all the things you can do afterwards, right? The QR code itself is actually pretty easy to generate. You know, at this point, there's QR code generators all over the internet. I already mentioned an AI will make one for you, any of them pretty much. But that's not the power. You know, the QR code's there and it's great because it's an easy way to translate old school media into new school media. But the power is where you can go next. You know, maybe you have an app you want somebody to download. No problem. Scan the QR code, takes you right to the Play Store or to the Apple App Store. Maybe you want somebody to make an appointment at your office. Easy peasy, link your appointment scheduler to the QR code. So when they scan it, they go straight where you want them to go. You know, some people, maybe you've created a click funnel and you want people to download a book that you wrote as the first step on a journey through your marketing. Have a QR code for that. You know, one of my favorite implementations of this is reviews. We see this all the time. People want to ask for reviews. They don't know how to ask for reviews. It's complex. Oh, I'll type in this URL. Why do you need to do that? Just print out a page with a QR code that links directly to your review page and your reviews will go up immediately. So I love QR codes. I'm glad you got me going on this again.
Man, and some of the doctor offices that I walked into, I've seen a QR code with an NFC chip. So you can either take a picture and leave a review or just put your phone in proximity and it would take you to the link.
That's amazing to me. And you could, if you're a doctor's office, I mean, you can take that one step further. You can QR code to your patient record inside the room. So you're sitting in the room waiting, you have a QR code up and it allows people to access and download, you know, all of their documents while they're sitting in the waiting room. A ton of implementations for this that really allow you to not only streamline what you're doing, but really integrate paper with technology.
Yes, yes, sir. And I love how you can track the analytics for every single click that goes through. And we do recommend the utility is one, the visual utility of the QR code. But if you integrate it right with your marketing campaign, you can really see how much traffic a certain campaign that you're launching or a certain QR code, how much return of investment it is for your effort.
Which is honestly really unique. You know, up until recently, it was really hard to track the outcomes of, you know, traditional media campaigns. It was, you know, you'd send out a bunch of mailers and you could make a pretty good guess about how much business you got from a mailer. But with the QR code, you can be much more precise, much more accurate, and you can follow consumer behavior after the fact as well. So you may know in the past, you may have sent out 1,000 mailers and got one client, right? Now you send out 1,000 mailers, maybe you still only get one client, but you also get 15 people who visited your website or visited your next step and opted out. Those people are warm leads you can follow up with later. There's a million things that you can do because now you're tracking that data online. And again, the power of the internet, the power of digital marketing is the data. We go back to this all the time. But if you're going to send out mailers or you're going to put your QR code anywhere, track what happens next. You want to know what the outcome of that is. Otherwise, you know, go yell into the Grand Canyon.
Yes, sir. And talking about mailers, I think that's like one of the next things that has been traditional. We send out a piece of paper or cardboard to different addresses. But there's new technologies that the U.S. Post Office uses for where they combine digital marketing with post mail. And they can give you data on who received it, who opened it. You can track with the use of QR codes and links, who scanned it and actually visited the landing page. And if you have a database of 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 that you can submit to the post office, they would give you analytics on how successful your post campaign is, which is that conversion of digital with traditional. Yeah.
And I love that too. I love the idea of mailers. You know, one of the things we talk a lot about is like, sometimes you got to fish the pond, nobody else is fishing, right? If mailers are where people are responding right now, let's go there, but let's use the new tricks that we've learned. You know, let's not pretend like it's still 1980 and we're just sending out mailers and hoping. It's 2024, let's send out some mailers, but let's see what happens next. Let's track outcomes of that campaign. You know, some of the things we've talked about doing and in some cases even execute on would be like mailers to, let's say for us, we send out mailers and we'd say, hey, get a digital marketing audit. It can be free or you can charge $5, whatever the case may be. you send out that mailer, people scan it, submit their information, you give them an audit, you've gathered all their data as well. Lots of different things that you can do with that. It can be set up a meeting, it can be for a webinar. You know, you imagine you need to fill a webinar on a specific series you're doing, send out mailers and allow people to RSVP online from the mailer. Crazily enough, the wedding space is a space that I see, like, people are great in the wedding space of blending digital and online, where I'll get a traditional RSVP card and then on the back of that, just a QR code where I could do it online instead. So you see these innovations all over the place, but I love to see how they're impacting small businesses too.
You know, and there are some companies out there that have a robot that writes as if it was handwritten notes, and they, you could just have a message, put 100 or 1,000 names, and this machine would handwrite for you. And when people receive it, it seems like as if you hand wrote a specific letter to them.
I've seen this. Not something I've done. I've joked in the past about just getting an intern to sign it for you in pen. But I love the idea of having a computer do it too, because again, and I think this is part of the theme today, the actual penmanship does make a difference. There is something about going old school that feels new, and it feels fresh today in the current digital environment. Yeah, it's great to get a thank you letter or a thank you text or, you know, Christmas cards. We generated ours online. But man, you know what people really love? A handwritten note. Do a handwritten note, put a QR code on the back of the handwritten note, right? That's going to increase your conversion rate so much. Imagine getting it like from a supplier or a vendor that you work with, a handwritten note that says, hey, thank you so much. I really appreciated it. Like, love this first order. By the way, on the back of this is a QR code next time you want to put in an order. You can just go right here. It links directly to your portal. Thank you so much. Man, you're going to order from that person every time now. That's a customer for life, right?
And you know, some things I love about this, and we get deeper into the mixing traditional and new technologies, that you can run an ad specifically geo-fence or targeted to a specific area, or if you have emails, then that person that receives that post mail with the QR code, we can also run a temporary digital ads campaign where when they're on their LinkedIn or their social media or browsing, they will get our ad, the same ad from the same company that sent the post mail. And it's giving them an opportunity to be aware of the brand and understand it and realize it. But getting this specific, because let's say the client is in a building, we can tell the ads campaign, run an ad to this geofencing location and during these days, and we can tell if they clicked, if they didn't click, did it was a deliver, and at the same time we can cross-reference on the post mail, was that clicked, did it work, and this empowers the marketers and business owners to know where their marketing dollars are going, was it effective, and if it is, then we can kind of repeat that in other areas as well. So I love how through this evolution of digital marketing, you can also be creative enough to think of how to mix traditional with new and also have metrics to see how everything performs.
I love geofencing as an example of a blend, because when you hear geofencing and you think about it, or we talk about it, and for the listener, geofencing is basically the idea of saying, hey, only serve my ad to people in this zip code. It's using someone's physical location to determine what they see on the internet, which to me is a great example of blending media. It's like, hey, location, physical location is a niche. Don't believe physical location is a niche. You know, ask your local restaurant how many orders they get from out of state, right? Like, it is a niche and it is something that you want to go after. And I love the idea of just using somebody's physical location to better target what ads or what media you're serving them. You know, put simply, like, let's say if I'm in Dallas and I want to run an ad for an athletics company, I'm not going to talk about how good the New York Giants are. You know, I'm going to talk about how cool the Dallas Cowboys are. And that's something unique that you're doing that you can do online because you've geofenced, right? The other thing you mentioned that I love and I want to make sure we talk about here is don't pick one channel. Don't just do one thing. You know, when you mention geofencing, you're talking about, let's send them a mailer, and then the same people who get that mailer, let's also send them an ad online. And those same people who got that ad online, let's send them an email that has a promotion in it. you want multiple touches from multiple avenues. What we're really talking about, again, I've used this before in the same podcast, creating a marketing ecosystem. Your marketing ecosystem should not just be on the internet. It should be online. It should also be traditional media. It should include, you know, conferences, in some cases, even like more face-to-face interaction, true networking. All of this works together to reach critical mass, but any one thing on its own will probably not get you where you're going. So I love the conversation around using multiple different efforts, all informed by the data that we're gathering on the internet, but still going out and being distributed through multiple different channels, both, you know, traditional and digital.
You know, taking it a little further, to say in the present example, we do all these things, but how do analytics benefit us? How does it help us? Well, now we know which one of our prospects that we sent this campaign to actually opened the mail, scanned the QR code, clicked on the social media post, so that the second and third wave of mailers and marketing that we do are to people who have shown interest. And we can put the ones that did not open it, did not click it, were not interested, we can put them in a different bucket, more of a email, soft campaign, just in case in the future you're interested. But the ones that actually did open and scanned the post mail, then now we can put more marketing dollars towards, we call it remarketing or following up on what the metrics showed us, people who went down the funnel.
We talked about this a little bit before. You shared with me a great example about Target. Would you mind sharing that again? I think that's such a cool kind of illustration of how your consumer behavior in an actual store can then turn around. Like, it goes both ways, this road. It's not just online to offline. It's offline to online as well. Hopefully I set you up for that one, Juan Pablo.
Yes, sir. Yes. So this is a famous case study of how Target figured out a teen girl was pregnant before her father did. And so the case study talks about how this father started getting mail about baby products, and he has a teenage daughter, and he was rampant and livid. Why am I getting this? Coming to realize that his daughter had not told him she was pregnant. And the marketing team got really good at targeting, at knowing consumer behavior based on visiting the website, or maybe they were the daughter was searching something on Target.com. But the marketing works too well. And of course, we have to learn the boundaries of what we should do.
Sure, this is a bit of a cautionary tale in some ways, yeah.
This came out on the news, and there was a follow-up case studies done on this. But the point is that Target got so good at understanding the product behaviors and consumer behaviors and mixing that traditional, like you're looking at something online or you're showing certain behavior, let's go ahead and send you some coupons on how to get free diapers and free milk.
It was something like kind of nefarious in the end, wasn't it? Wasn't it something as simple as like hadn't bought tampons or something in like a 2 months? Like literally they were like tracking certain type of information that it was a little invasive, but it's a very clear example of how you can take, you know, consumer behavior data from your rewards program and use that to better target people on the internet, right?
Yes, an article by Forbes says the analyst noticed women on the baby registry were buying larger quantities of unscented lotion at the beginning or second trimester. Also, the first 20 weeks, pregnant women loaded up on supplements like calcium, magnesium, and zinc.
It's a little bit not what you want. It's a little bit too invasive for my view, but I think is a real great illustration of how you can see, okay, you know, I've got somebody who I sent a mailer to. They've clicked on the same page for information 3 times, but they've never made an appointment. Maybe I should send them some targeted information about what they keep reviewing. You know, maybe I've got a prospective patient who keeps coming to my website. I'm a podiatrist and they keep looking at the hangnail page. And I want to know about hangnails, how to cure hangnails, but they won't make an appointment. Maybe I just shoot that person an email or put them on a mailing list that says, hey, just a friendly reminder, your first appointment, totally free, non-hassle, come in whenever. And it allows you to say, okay, this person, they're ready. They're ready to make an appointment. Let's go ahead and let's get them over that line. Or they're ready to make a purchase. Let's go ahead and let's get them over that line. And I do think, you know, we all want to know this stuff, right? I just in my everyday like selling, when I'm talking to somebody, I one of the first things I ask, what's your timeline? What are you looking to do? When are you looking to make this decision? This is information everybody wants to know, and it's right there for you. You can find it on the internet just by looking at consumer behavior.
And there's something I think is beautiful, that when you actually get targeted right, you're happy you received that. It's like a gift. Like, I'm looking to buy this product. I'm interested on this, whatever it is. And I get a special saying you could buy it for 20, 30% off. And I'm like, oh, this is the opportunity. And in the opposite end, it's very obvious when they totally missed your targeting. You know, somebody sending me something that's a product. Recently, I got a product for women or something. And I was like, yeah, I got the wrong person on this one.
I just the same thing. I go so recently in the family, and I was going to mention this early, but we've had a lot of babies. Both of my sister-in-laws recently had babies. Some of my best friends have had babies. You recently had a baby. Long story short, I'm spending a lot of time with people who have had babies. And so now I'll get on social media. And I'm being served so much baby content. I do not have a child. I am far from having a child, unless my wife has something to tell me that I don't know about, and maybe Target knows. but I'm getting all of this content because they think that, like, that's my affiliation now, right? And so it is funny how you can see they can get it wrong. Like, some of the metrics that we're using are wrong if you automate it too much. So it does happen, but you like to see. I like to see a human behind it using some common sense, saying, maybe we shouldn't serve this 35-year-old man, you know, baby formula of ads. But that doesn't always happen.
Man, and digging deeper into the topic, we talked about digitally tracking physical campaigns. I wanted to bring in something about delivering video content commercials directly to a household that it's geo-fence or targeted based on behavior. So before, when you launch a TV ad, it had to go across to everybody that was watching that TV at the same time, who saw the same commercial. But now you might have two neighbors watching the same show and getting two different set of commercials during the ad break.
That is, I think that's a great one to bring up. And I think talking about how TV has changed, and really radio with podcasts has changed as well. Both of those things, their targeting was entirely based on, like, demographics, who they thought was watching a certain show. And then also, you know, somewhat your geographic location, because you might be receiving ads from a local affiliate instead of the national organization, right? ABC would have an affiliate in Dallas or Houston or wherever. And so you would receive big Houston ads and then sort of targeted to the show you were watching, right? Now what you can do, though, I mean, you can get extraordinarily targeted. You can use all of the data from somebody's social media and internet usage to then target them on while they're watching TV via YouTube TV or an ad on Amazon. And one of the things that I love about this change is not only have we gotten better at targeting, better at tracking, so our ads are more effective, a funny little thing has happened as well, which is expectations of production quality for video have gone down. People are much more used to self-produced videos, combined with the fact that you can target even more locally and more specifically than you ever could before. You can run a highly effective TV ad campaign with a very small upfront spend relative to what it used to be. You know, a TV commercial, half the money you would spend was on getting a TV crew or a film crew out there to record your commercial. I can do it with my phone. And not only can I do it with my phone, I can then go and I can talk to Google and I can say, hey, I just ran this ad and I only want to target people who do this, 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 and this. And I want to target them while they're using this service. And it's video, which we know is a very, very powerful conversion tool. So I do love that. I'm really happy you brought that up.
Yes, sir. You know, they used to say that content is king. And I'm starting to shift my perspective that the right targeting and marketing integration, it's the king. The content can, you know, it doesn't have to be top-notch quality. As long as it gets delivered to the right people who are looking for the right service, a meme can go a long way.
Yeah, right. I mean, today I would say that, like, yeah, a meme is more likely to get seen, you know, and a bad meme too. Like, God, the memes are so bad sometimes. But it's more likely to get seen, shared, and be impactful than, you know, a really, really well-written magazine article or, like, you know, I think a meme is more likely to be seen than like an episode of Last Week Tonight, which is kind of a joke of a news show, you know, like really lo-fi is kind of the new hi-fi in a way.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I think it's very interesting how we might put so much attention on having a perfect a message. And it is important to have the right messaging, but I think knowing who your audience is, where they are at, and building an inside joke with them can go such a long way than focusing so much on the production of a specific design and aesthetic of a campaign.
And, you know, in one-on-one sales, which I've spent some time teaching and mentoring on, I talk a lot about building rapport and the value of building rapport early, right? Before you get into your pitch, before you say what you want to say, you know, relate to the audience in some way, relate to who you're talking to in some way. And I love that idea, and kind of what you're hitting on is like building rapport at a mass level, an inside joke with your audience. That's, you guys have a secret that you share, right? You have something that you and your audience have in common that you can reference back to. And it really deepens the relationship that you have with your prospects, with your audience, in a way that I think is really valuable. Juan Pablo, I know we've got a little bit more time, but we're kind of running out here. I wanted to do a little bit of a rapid fire round on some ideas here, if that's all right. I'll throw out something, talk about it for like a minute, and then let's keep going, because otherwise it seems like we could talk about this one all day. First idea that I think of that I don't think people are talking about enough is just like telemedicine or Zoom writ large. You know, a really great example of blended media is how this is a conversation that in the past we would have to be having in person. You know, we are recording from 180, 200 miles away from each other, all in Texas. Texas is a big place. You'd never be able to do that. Telemedicine, a great example of that. Never in a million years before would you have been able to visit somebody and have like the face-to-face interaction remotely. Now you can. We talked a lot about announcing like a video or a radio spot to like send people to your website. The inverse is true as well. You can tell people, hey, I was just written up in a magazine, or I did a guest feature in a magazine, or hey, you can tell people on your website that you have an ad in a magazine. Those people will go buy that magazine, look at your ad, come back to your website and buy your product. I think that's great. I know you wanted to talk a little bit about reward programs.
Yes, I think that reward programs have been an incentive for people to become loyal customers, and they're very easy to implement nowadays. You can see them at every restaurant or most restaurants nowadays. I start paying attention to my points and going back to the same places to get my boba. And then they give you an email giving you a summary of your points, which is a touch point. Like, you're sending me an email, hey, Juan Pablo, you have this many points, plus you got a $5 coupon, which is just getting me back and back to that business. And you can see all the major players have their own rewards program. Starbucks, Chick-fil-A, Chipotle, they all have their specific apps. They have their inside reward programs. And it's just really getting you to come back to their business. So I would challenge all our listeners figure out how you can implement some reward program or referral program into your marketing campaign.
Yeah, a couple of great points. So one, the idea that your customers are also your most likely next customers and also often your best salespeople, I do think is really insightful and something more people should pay attention to. I think not enough people understand the value of repeat business and how much lower the cost of acquisition is for repeat business than new business. The other thing I kind of wanted to talk to you about, I'm not a huge reward program joiner, but I am a member of one. And one of the cool things, a cool feature that I like about that one is I don't have to have my rewards app out. I don't have to scan anything. They have actually affiliated my account with my credit card. And so every time I make a purchase just with my credit card, I actually get an email and a notification from their app saying, hey, thank you for your purchase. You earned XYZ points. check out what you can buy next time. Is that how it is at most places?
Yes, yes. They're integrating multiple channels, multiple points of data, and just keeping you engaged. And you feel like you're being talked to. Although some of these might be all automated. The marketing manager don't know that Graham went to the store. It's just all being automated. And that's what we're looking to challenge here, that you can bring the digital and the traditional together. A quick example is I have a dentist that I visit. It's actually one of our clients. And they have I get a text towards the end of the year, and it's like, oh, we've missed you, or thank you for coming recently. You have a free cleaning. And then I'm like, oh, they care about me. They want to offer me a free teeth cleaning. And when I go there, then they tell me, oh, you have these other things that we need to polish. And it's not necessarily a reward program with points, but they have a system that if I visited them in the past, I'm more willing to come back, and I forget about them. And just through this text offering me a free teeth cleaning or whitening, it gets me back into the purchasing loop to go there and refer them.
I do. I love that. I love those types of programs. The like just soft touch, ongoing soft touch programs, reminders. Birthday reminders are one of the like absolute classic, easy wins there. Some other ideas, just something that I see a lot of. iPads are everywhere. You know, what is an iPad with a screen displaying something other than just, you know, a new school like poster, really? I love that. I like having this information there, and I like that it's interactable. But so often the implementation of that is just old school media with a new school trick, right? Google My Business is a product. I think that whole product is a real blending of online and offline. We've done a whole pod on Google My Business. I'm not going to go back into it, but the very first thing you do when you set up a Google My Business, they send you a postcard. They are verifying your physical address. There is no clearer example of the blending of real world and online than Google My Business. That is like, hey, that you've got your real storefront, set up your digital storefront through us. It's a blending of the two, right? A couple of others. We kind of already talked about coordinating live events via social media and live streams, but I think both of those are great examples. You know, that's no different than the old school town hall. Oftentimes you'll fill those with old school invite methods as well. And so I think I love all of those ideas as ways that you can blend the old school and the new school, or, you know, hold a live conference and live stream it. You know, something we could do more of is we could hold teaching conferences and we could run a podcast from there. We could upload one of those as a podcast. How different is that than, you know, anything else, right? It's just a blending of the old and the new. There shouldn't be these clear delineated lines that I think people make up in their head. It's like, oh, I can't, why would I send a mailer? I'm doing an online ad. Well, because you can do both and you can do both well.
Mix them up, measure them. If it works, repeat. On the topic of iPads and digital screens, I do like the opportunity to digitally publish your magazine or book. You don't have to go to the traditional publisher and pay for 100 books. You can literally write a template on Google Docs and then use a Kindle, Amazon Publishing, or there's other publishing platforms where you can have your digital book or magazine published and delivered to your fans with an offer where there is get the rest of the book and I'll pay for the mail, or give me your information and I'll send you a digital copy. There's so many ways to skin this, but it's a traditional concept. A magazine, a book, publish it traditionally and get it in the hands of people who may be interested to come into your business.
Couldn't agree more. Any other quick ideas or anything you want to share with the audience before we kind of wrap up with our traditional sign off here?
Yes, there's one that I want to talk that is one of my favorite ones. In 2022, we did a project with Pepsi called Juntos Crecemos. And a big part of that project was bringing people's menu that they have on their tables online into their website with photos, with descriptions, being able to order. I think that is one of the best things or approaches that we've had examples of mixing traditional and digital. And it's something that after doing that, it's almost like any restaurant that's not doing it, please contact us. Let us help you.
Yeah, agreed. And one of the great things about taking a, you know, a tabletop menu and putting it online, if you do it right, all of your menu items become searchable. One thing that kind of drives me nuts is when you see somebody uploading their menu as a PDF, and it's like, man, you're just missing out on so much opportunity. All you had to do was type this out and put it on a web page, or have somebody, you know, publish this on a web page for you, and you would be so much more findable on the internet. You would attract so much new business online just by actually putting it up there the right way. So I think that's a great idea.
And with that, also put it on Google My Business, because when people are on Google Maps searching mimosas near me, if you have your digital menu, your Google Maps, and on your website, then Google would know that you're relevant for that search. And it's a missed opportunity if you're not doing it. So please.
I agree. And you've kind of, you made me think of something else, which is just, you know, the PepsiCo Juntos Crecemos program. I appreciate you bringing that up, because that whole program was like a perfect demonstration of blending old school and new school media. Because not only was Pepsi, you know, helping people to redevelop their websites, get their menus online, but they would also go into their physical store locations, help redesign their physical store location. And then what did you think Pepsi was doing? Well, Pepsi was talking about it online. They were having their, you know, the restaurants they helped talk about it online. What were they talking about? They were talking about how they had physically gone out into their community and helped people. I think that's great. You know, we have a doctor client who does Doctors Without Borders, and he goes and he helps people in need once a year. And when he comes back, that's what we talk about. We talk about how he went and did good in the real world online, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. In fact, I encourage it. I think the more that stuff you can do, the more you can say, oh, I went and helped out with Big Brothers, Big Sisters, or whatever cause you support. And then going ahead and talking about that on the internet, I think is super powerful.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And everybody gets a Doctors Without Borders. Even in his story, their brand gets a recognition, gets a plug. Same thing with the Pepsi. All the restaurants having Pepsi products and display and Pepsi next to their menu and the photos, it actually gave Pepsi a way to impact the community, but also get many impressions that wouldn't otherwise have been there if they didn't transform this tabletop menu to digital.
Right. Cool. Well, with that, I want to wrap up the subject. My big takeaway from this is just don't draw clear boundaries between on and offline. They feel like they're very distinct. They're not. They really do bleed and blend together. And the more you can do to blend them together artfully, the better off your marketing campaign is going to be. You know, include your physical assets online and vice versa. You know, I have written down here in my outline in all caps, your web address is as powerful as your physical one, and your physical address is as powerful as your web address. Use them both. Leverage them both. Let them work together. All right, Juan Pablo, we always sign off the same way. I always ask you this question. What pop culture are you engaging with that you're thinking about or is relevant to marketing these last couple of weeks?
Really, I've been fasting a bit these days, and I've been staying off the TV, but I have been reading a book on my Kindle from Peter Thiel, from Zero to One about business. I've really been enjoying that. It talks about, like, the chapter I'm currently on is about the last mover's advantage. And is that if you're not the first one into an industry, you're the last one or one of the last ones, do not get discouraged, because you've actually have a whole learning curve that has been already put forth in front of you to learn from. And I think, you know, this relates to today's topic. There's a lot of things already been implemented. Learn from your competitors, learn from people around you. And even if you're not the first mover, you can take that last mover's advantage and implement your new marketing ideas.
I do like that. That is interesting. And that is a really good read. It's been almost 10 years now for me, but that's a great book. I, for my part, I just got done watching the show Masters of the Air, which is a really cool show. I don't have anything profound to say about it other than just to recommend it, especially if you liked Band of Brothers or The Pacific or either of those shows, which were made by the same people, similar idea. It's about how the Band of Brothers is D-Day on and taking, what, the Western Front?
Europe. And the Pacific, yeah, is the Marines. Island happened, yeah, in the Pacific.
Yep, yep. And Masters of the Air I think it's the Air Force. It might be the Navy. But I think it's the Air Force out. And they're actually all before D-Day. Most of that takes place much earlier in the war because they're I guess we sent our airmen over early before we truly sent like our full assortment of troops. I'm not a historian on this subject at all, but it's a cool show and worth checking out and really interesting. What that made me think of though, and what I was going to talk about here is just how basically streaming in the internet has flattened TV. And one thing I see a lot of, so we're a bilingual agency. That's very obvious. We talk about that a lot. We interview a lot of bilingual people. And one of the things I'm seeing more and more is I'll talk to people and say, oh, you know, how did you become bilingual? How did you learn English? What happened? And they'll say, well, I have no formal training. I've never been to school. I watched Friends. I just watched Friends. I watched a lot of Friends when I was a kid, and I learned how to speak English because I watched a lot of Friends. And that's just crazy to me how many people are learning English or learning about American culture online because of how widespread that is and how easy it is to access. Like it's crazy to me that you would be a native Spanish speaker and learn to speak English because you just liked Friends so much. You know, when I was growing up, I had to watch Friends reruns on Nick at Night. Like I certainly wasn't going to learn a different language doing it, you know? So really cool. And just one of the funner and more interesting ways that the internet's impacting the world.
Yes, sir. Definitely. A language is a key to unlock a new world of perspectives and communication. So I wish I would have learned more languages from reading the manga and comics I was.
Yeah. Oh, man, we should have. It's what allows us to connect with and understand people. And that's what we're talking about with marketing, too, is how can you build a connection with people? Language does that. You know, there's a lot of ways to do it. Most of it is centered around language, visual or text-based or verbal or otherwise. But everything we do, everything we're talking about is how are we more impactful with our messaging? That's all about communication. Anything else before we sign off here, Juan Pablo?
Just to finish off that everything we talked about today can be done in multiple languages. So do consider that depending on your audience. We like bilingual digital marketing, and if your audience speaks a different language.
What are we even doing here? We're getting to the end. You're bringing this up, and a light bulb goes off in my head, and I think to myself, why don't you, you know, hand out a pamphlet in English, put a QR code for a Spanish language version in the back. Easy peasy. You can provide that online translation for somebody so simply. Another great way to blend old school and new school media. Love that. All right, guys, we're logging off. Please like and subscribe on Apple or Spotify. You can find us on social media or visit us online at alphacomarketing.com. Please reach out with any questions. We're always here and happy to answer any questions that you do have. This has been Graham and Juan Pablo in Transmisión.